comma with the whole heart. Elder John Longdon, John Longdon, Conference Report April 1957, pages 69-71. President McKay this morning gave recognition to the servicemen who had traveled many miles to be here, some coming from Texas and Oklahoma. I trust I shall be in order if I ask those servicemen to stand at the present moment, please, wherever you are. Thank you very much. That is a glorious sight, and I commend you for your evidence of faith in having a desire to mingle here in this great conference where you will receive a spiritual uplift, where the word of the Lord goes forth in truth and in power. The servicemen of this church are in a position to do great missionary work with their fellow men by just living the gospel, maintaining the standards and ideals of the Master. Customs may change, but principles do not. On one occasion we are told that the Master went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them, and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." The principles the Master taught in the temple almost 2,000 years ago are just as true today and important to the welfare of our lives as they were to the people whom he taught. There is a promise that if any man will do the will of the Father, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. This is evidence to me that a man may receive a positive assurance of truth if he will but humble himself before the Lord and do the will of the Father. Yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ is positive. Here in the session so far, we have heard everyone who has spoken bear witness and testimony regarding the truth which they have spoken. It is a marvelous thing to have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was possible to receive a positive assurance, or testimony, in the days of the Master, so it is possible today. For this is an eternal truth. Many times we hear the statement, "The gospel is true, I know the gospel is true, I have a witness and testify to you also that I know this thing called Mormonism is true, for it embodies the full gospel of Jesus Christ." When individuals have that testimony, though there may be periods of confusion, periods of deliberation, they are always able to come through, provided the roots of their testimony are deep within their hearts. The psalmist declared, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart." I have a witness that this gospel must go to all people and that all people must come to a knowledge of the truths which are taught from this pulpit before they can bend the knee and bow the head and confess that Jesus is the Christ. Recently I saw the testimony of a young mother manifest as she had her three young sons around her. She had just become a widow, her husband having suffered a dreadful disease for 3 years. Only the light and knowledge of the gospel had given her hope and courage. Yes, the roots of her testimony were deep. Through the restoration of the Church and Kingdom of God, we understand our responsibility to take the gospel to all the world, working with those who are non-members of the true Church. Also, we are to labor patiently with members who have become somewhat delinquent and dilatory to their duties, their testimonies having been weakened through inactivity or other reasons. A keen interest is manifest in this reactivation program and much good is being accomplished. Some months ago it was my privilege to attend what we term a men and wives meeting. On the stand was a husband who had been reactivated. His wife was with him. Their 7 children sat with them. The wife was with child. They had a son in Korea, and they had lost a little girl some 6 years before. The wife stood in the pulpit that morning expressing sweet, humble gratitude that there was now spirituality in their home and happiness because the priesthood was being honored. Truly, happiness was reflected in the faces of those lovely children who sat with them. Then the husband related briefly some of his experiences. He told how he had been born in a little town just north of Logan, Utah, where I should judge 99% are members of the church. His mother passed away when he was 6 years of age. The children had been farmed out to various relatives, and this boy was with an aunt and uncle until he was 13 years of age. At 12 he had been ordained a deacon because he had been obedient to the teaching and training received through attending primary and Sunday school and all the services he could attend. When he became 13, his father decided to move into the backwoods of Wyoming, where they were some distance from a church. There was no transportation, so he didn't attend his meetings. He got out of the habit of going to church, he said, and took up other habits. Later, he married a lovely woman who had faith, who had a precious spark in her heart and her soul. She continued to yearn for the day when he would see the light and would know this gospel as the Master had taught it. He said, "I have done many things that I am ashamed of. I smoked. I drank and stronger than beer on occasion. I am not proud of it. I have not been the father that I should have been to these children. There has not been true happiness in our home. I have not been the husband that I should have been to my good wife. But I stand here today to testify to you that I would not return to that old life for all the gold in Fort Knox. I have not missed a sacrament meeting from that time to this, which is 5 years, except when I have been in Salt Lake City attending General Conference. How grateful I am that the gospel can work in the lives of individuals when they have the desire, when they understand the meaning of being doers of the word, referred to in President David O. McKay's message at the opening of this conference. May we all, I pray, have the desire to demonstrate by our works that we truly are followers of the Master. May our testimonies be cultivated and fed by the Spirit of truth to remain strong, regardless of trials or obstacles, that we may be able to rise above them, even as John on the Isle of Patmos, who recognized that he was there because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the Word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, customs may change, but principles do not, for assurance, knowledge, and testimony are eternal principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ today as they were yesterday. I so testify to you in all sobriety. May God bless us to live in accordance with His glorious eternal truths. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.